It is good to see you this morning. I am glad that you braved the frigid weather coming out into the cold. Wasn't Kansas City last night at 5 below, but I know it's Texas and it's cold. But I appreciate you guys coming out this morning. That's a, I really stop and think about things like that, and I'm going to go, if we really wanted to do something in life, we'd just go do it. Yeah, we do it. Cold? What's cold? Snow? Oh, well. You know, if you really, really want to do it, we just go do it. I mean, that's just who we are. And I always think about that when it comes to coming to church. I want to go, it's raining. Well, you will not melt. But I always think about that kind of stuff. But then I thought about something this week, and that really probably speaks to me, because I have a conviction. In the Psalms, Terrence took us there in the 51st. We're going to go to the 63rd Psalm this morning. And I want to ask you a question. Do you have an obsession? Don't everybody answer that question. I really don't want to know your obsession. I mean, I know I do. One of the obsessions I share with one of my good friends here, it's called golf. Too cold this morning, though. It's too cold yesterday morning for me. I have an obsession with washing my truck. I do. Yes, I know. I do. I like it clean. I have a lot of different kinds of obsession about how I do things. If it can't be done the very best, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it halfway. Will it take a lot longer? It takes a lot longer, but that's the way that it is. Do you have one? Oh, coffee. I got a little chart in there. It has like your heartbeat, you know, the lines going up and down, you know, like that. I have that, and in the middle it says coffee. Then it goes on a little further. So I do have all those kind of things. I'm just confessing this morning. The priest wasn't around, so I figured I'd tell you all the same thing. What drives you daily? What? You say, well, I have to go to work. Okay. Got to go to work. What motivates you? What is it about life that changes things? The 63rd Psalm is an incredible psalm. It's a psalm that that has been called the soul of the psalms. In fact, in the early church, they used to sing this psalm every morning. This was the psalm that the church sang because it spoke. And it spoke about what David was feeling in his heart. Now, this morning, Terrence gave us the 51st Psalm when he said about this was David's prayer of forgiveness, asking God to forgive him. This is not a prayer of forgiveness. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. This is a prayer of praise. This is a prayer that that's not even a prayer. It's just praise. It's a praise that we should start every new year with. And that's why I chose that this morning. David was, as some would place us in two different things. David is either fleeing from Saul, which might be a very good thing, you know, because he was seeking him to kill him. He might have been fleeing, as you would know, from Absalom. Absalom had led a rebellion. Absalom was taking over the kingdom. And he is, this is David's son, if you didn't know that. His own son was trying to kill him. His own son was trying to take over the kingdom to do this. So literally, no matter which one it was, and it's more likely it was Saul, but he was running for his life. That's the background of this whole thing. He was running for his life. He was fleeing away from the very people that were supposed to be friends, a king that he served, a son who he raised. He was fleeing from them. He'd been exiled from his throne. Now, we talked about that in the 51st Psalm. He was humiliated, as he was very much in the 51st Psalm, when it came down to the things that he had done. But this experience, as did that one, it drove him to God. What does it take to drive you to God? What does it take in our lives to bring us to the point that every day, when all of our human resources are gone, when nothing is out there that we really can put our hand, when God is all that you have, what does it take to put you there? What does it take for you to seek him there? In the 63rd Psalm, beginning at verse number 1. O God, thou art my God. I love that part. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He was recalling the very fact that in the times of worship in the temple, this is God who he was seeking. He wanted to see the Shekinah glory of God once again to power his life in a very difficult time. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Kind of sounds what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, you know, about lifting up holy hands before the Lord. And then he says in the 5th verse, my soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness. In other words, with everything that God has given, all the blessings of life. I mean, I think of a great, a nice filet mignon. Oh, no. I know, it's getting closer to lunch. Okay. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Why? Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. The church sang that every day. This was their theme song. As we have other theme songs, that was their theme time. There are just times in our lives that all we have is God. I know there are people that have gone through a lot more than I've gone through. I understand that. But there never have gone through a place that God wasn't there. There's never been a time that God is not there. He's right there, but do we go to him? David's praying, snatch me away for a moment. Take me out of this place. Where do you go when those times come? Where we're supposed to go is inside. Well, I'm not talking inside a building. I'm talking about inside your heart of faith. That's where we're to go. That's where we are to turn. Our faith is the one that we should count on. And that's why it's so important that we build it up. We need to seek a quiet and a solitude to do what? To get alone with God. I know that's a scary thought for many people. They don't want to get alone with God. They're afraid of what God might tell them. They don't want to hear what he's got to say. When there's nobody else around, there's no distraction. You don't have to do this at the church and you don't have to do that. All you can do is get alone with God. Seek his face. This is what David was asking for. He's saying, quit your running. Stop your fighting. Quit looking for something. Find a quiet place and refresh your soul in God. Do we not need that? I do. There are moments in life that we just need that. You say, well, where do you get that? I said, got it many times out on a lawnmower. You know why? I don't take my phone. And Robert, I don't take the phone to the golf course either. Nobody going to call me. Not interested in hearing from anybody. But out here mowing the lawn or out at my place mowing, scream all you want to, people. I'm not answering. I'm not listening. I'm out there singing. I know the neighbors think that's a crazy thing. But it's my time of solitude Yes, the mower's going and all. You say it's loud. And no, it's just, I blank all that out. It is an opportunity to once again be alone with God, to find what he has to say. And I think every new year, every time we hit January, we need to have what tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King Day. I mean, do you have a dream? He had a vision of something that was something way beyond his abilities, but not beyond God's ability. And we're still striving for that. So the first thing, when God is all you need, number one, you need to seek God. You just need to seek him. You need to chase after him. You need to find out where he is. So I'm asking, do you have a passion for God? Do you have a passion somewhat like David's passion? Could you even say that as David did, he had this overwhelming passion to see God, to experience him like he experienced him in the sanctuary, to see the Shekinah glory of God come down? Do you have that kind of a passion? Do you want to get alone with God? You just need to seek him. You need to seek him with intensity. You know, we do a half-hearted way of seeking God at times. Well, I'll pray if I feel I got time. If something doesn't get in the way, I might say a few short words. You know, I'm not saying now I'd lay me down to sleep. I'm praying. I'm seeking. I'm crying out to God. That prayer may be great for a child, but it should never be for an adult. It should never be for someone that knows Christ. It should be crying out to God in intensity. Just as he writes there in that first verse, he said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water." Was he speaking of a desert that we might describe as a physical desert? How about his own soul? Do we not have desert times in our own hearts? When we can't, that we seem like the living word of God, the living water of God, is something that we do not have. David said, I'm thirsty, and I'm intently going to seek you out. I have a longing in my heart to see you, to know you. I've been drained. How many times have I heard that? I've heard that in my own family. Heard it myself, say it to myself. I'm shot. I'm giving it. I'm done. I mean, I'm out of gas. I just can't go anymore. David was right there. He was fainting. He was fainting before the Lord. People, spiritual fatigue is real. And we really should experience it at times so that we can do one thing. We can realize that what we have is a weariness of our soul, that we need to seek out God, that we need to find him who he is. There's where the excitement, there's where the contentment comes. And it is what God said, I want to give you. When was the last time you came to church with an expectancy to hear God? An expectancy to meet with the Holy Spirit? An expectancy to see what God was going to do, that he has something exciting that he wanted to do in your personal life? You know, Terrence is one of the most... That's why I paused a long time. Exciting, motivating, is he not? Does it vibrant? That's a good term. All those things that pump you up and get you going, and I look forward to it every Sunday morning. There are a few times I'm going like that, but you know, he gets a little more exciting than I can do. Or do you want drab? Yeah, I know. I come to the garden alone. And you know something? You'll be alone, buddy. That's all I can tell you. I know it's a great hymn. Some of you are moved by that great hymn. Okay. David wasn't looking for that great hymn. David was looking in the weariness of his soul for the inspiration that he knew came from God. And he came with expectancy. How many times have your eyes been, almost you're ready to go to sleep. There's a hollowness. There's a weariness about it. Our hearts are empty. This is where David was right here. We have, sometimes in the church, we put out all the time, all put out, but no input. How do you do the work of God in the flesh? I promise you this, it'll wear you out. It'll drain everything from you. I say it all the time. I got to get this done. I said, Margaret said, why are you going down there? I said, because I need to. I got things I need to do at the church. Got to get this stuff taken care of. Got to do this. You know, and then you drag up and come into the house. And she's looking at me. She goes, not too bright, is he? Yeah, well, she never says that. She never. That's my own interpretation. God's work takes hard. It takes diligence. It does. I know I only work one day a week here. That's true. Got an amen from the top. There you go. Is there anything in your life like the intensity that David had in seeking God? Is there anything? You don't have to wait for someone to threaten your soul. You don't have to wait for rebellion. You don't have to wait for somebody's trying to kill you. But David had all those things, but the one thing that he didn't have that he wanted so desperately at this time, he wanted to see God. It's all that he wanted. He wasn't asking God to deliver him from this. He wasn't asking that. He was asking, I'll be satisfied if you just show up. That's all that I mentioned. So you seek God with intensity. You seek God totally. You know, you don't do it part-time. You do it all the time. Look at verse number 5. He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow of fatness. It would be satisfied when all the issues of my life are full and happy and everything's going the way I want them to go. You're touching my whole existence, my emotions, my physical, my experience. All of them are craving God. The totality of who we are. That's how you seek God. With all of yourself. You don't hold back a section of it. You either let God have everything or you don't let God have anything. So he's totally going after it. But you seek God out of necessity also. And I think more of us do that than any other time. Out of necessity we have. Why? He said, I'm in a dry and thirsty land. I've got a barrenness in my soul. Now he could have literally been, as they said, in the wilderness of Judea. He could have been off, but you know, when he was fleeing from Absalom, he ran right over Jordan. He headed off into Arabia. That's where he ended up. But when he fled from Saul, it was always hiding out. In his heart, though, he says, I am in a dry and thirsty land. Ever been there with God? God's not here. You're not hearing him. You feel like you're in a desert. You just feel like I'm in a drought. I can't get a hold of him. That's where David was. And I think, if you're honest, I think all of us have been there. But some of us don't seek him that way. We don't seek him out of necessity. We try to answer our own problems all the time within ourselves or with one of our friends. And God's sitting there going, seek me. The greatest necessity of life is a confrontation with God. And that's why David was so correct in everything he's saying here. And that is exactly why when all you have is God, the thing we need to do is seek him. But we not only need to seek him, when all you have is God, you just need to remember him. You ever forgot God? In all the things that you do, do you forget God? You say, well, I got to get this done. I got to get that. And I'm overwhelmed with this thing. David said, I just remember how the worship went at church. I remember those things. I remember the great singing. I remember the excitement. I remember all those wonderful things. I remember the high moments. Why? Because there's going to be low moments. And that's what we have to go back to. You know how many people I've heard in this church, and I'm almost every one of you, talk about great days? I remember this and I remember that, especially some of the older ones that have been here a long time. Oh, do you remember back here when this happened? Yeah, I remember that. God gave us those times because there are times like COVID. There are times when things are waning in our lives. And he's saying simply to us, you just need to remember me. You need to recall the moments of life that was great. You need to remember the times that David said as he walked through the temple and he heard the singing, he had such a vivid memory of a church service. Of all the great things that God had done. Do you know something? That'll sustain you. That'll keep you going. That'll give you hope that one day you'll get to see it all again. There's no big exit sign, my friends, for the desert. It's not like they plastered up there and said, this is how you get out, you do this. The way you get out of a desert is by setting your heart upon God and finding him. You say, well, I don't know about it. I said, well, I do know about it. And you may be in a desert right now. You may be in a time of life right now where it's really, really tough. Go find that sacred place. Remember what God has done in your past. And go find that again. And God will give you the place he wants you to be. But it takes remembering God. You need to remember God when everything's going good. When you're wide awake. You know, there's time you roll over and you can't sleep and this is going and you say, count your sheep, pun on sheep. I got a perfect thing for you. If you can't go to sleep, just call me sometime because it's going to keep ringing. I'm not answering you. No, really, I got a book you can read. Dr. Hanke, great guy, man, fantastic theologian, wonderful guy. He wrote a book, it's called The Validity of the Virgin Birth. I promise you, I'll loan it to you, you'll be asleep in a moment. It's a great book, but you'll go to sleep, boom, it'll knock you slap out right there. But David said in verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee, in the night watches. When things were going to happen the next day, or what I just went through during the day, while I'm still awake, I'm concentrating. When sleep fails me, I'm just simply going to remember God. What do you do in insomnia? What do you do when all those things? You see, David said, my thoughts just went to God. I couldn't get to sleep. I just remembered how good God was to me. I think about that all the time. Day and night, he belonged to God. And he recalled those experiences of worshiping God. I'm sure that he remembers the time that Nathan did things and it wasn't coming to point out where he had failed. I'm sure he remembered when all the things were going great. And day or night, he could go right back to that. That's why we come to worship together. Robert, I'm sure you've heard this on the golf course. I'm out here worshiping God. No, you're not. You're praying for a birdie. I'm praying. Yeah, you're praying your ball didn't end up in the water. Okay. You know, you can worship God, they say, and I understand. You know, I can worship. I'll worship God. Don't promise we don't. We don't. We don't get back to nature. Yeah, we do. We get back to nature. We don't get to God's nature. The very thing that God calls us to do is found in the sacred place. It's what he called the fellowship of the church. And that's why the church is so important. The church is important because it's a place that we can come to. It's a place that everybody around us have walked through the same problems that we're walking through. And they understand. And if they don't understand, well, they either they're ignorant or they don't have any experience in life. That's all I can say about that. But they say, get isolated with God. Get to the place that you need to be. I know it may be frightening. You may think that it's frightening. It may have all those things. But I can tell you this. This is what you do right here. There is a sacred and secret place. And then out of necessity, these are the things that we do. We seek after God. It's not a time to get alone and rehash all the bad things that have ever happened to you in life. It's not a time to go back over your bitternesses. It's a time to meditate upon God. It's a time that, oh, I'm going to build up my defenses. I'm going to do this and I'm going to practice this. No, it's not a time to protect yourself. It's a time to be vulnerable before God. And so that he can do something in your life. It's not a time of retaliation. Thank you. It's none of those things. It's not a time to gain your alliances and line up all your friends to take your side. It's not that at all. It's a time, as David said, for me to reflect upon God, to be honest with myself, to tell God and nobody else your shortcomings, my hurts, all those things I need to say. You know, I think David might have gone over it. He'd probably gone over the time he fought a bear, fought a lion. Maybe he talked about the time that he faced Goliath. And what was he thinking of? God be my strength, and I need you again. And what did God say? I'll help you. I will do it in your life. So when all you've got is God, you need to seek him out of necessity. That's what we all need to do. The last area that I thought, like, when all we've got is God, what do we need to do? We just need to praise him. We need to praise him. You know what drives Satan batty? It's when we start praising God. You name the name of Jesus, and he goes crazy. Well, why would you do that? Well, his loving kindness. He's merciful. Look at your lives. Has he not been merciful? Every time you messed up in life, has he not been merciful? What did he say in verse number 3? You're better than life. Well, yeah, he is totally better than life. He has the ability to satisfy every time. He always satisfies. Better than any filet mignon, and I like my medium rare if anybody's asking. He's not only that, but we can praise him because he protects us. Verse number 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in that because it's what he has given us right now. He has the ability to protect us. You say, well, he hasn't done a very good job. You haven't asked. Have you? Have you seek him out? Has he failed? Never. He does not fail. What fails is usually when we start thinking, well, you're supposed to do it right now. That's what fails. It's not God. It's us. We're the ones that do that. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Verse number 8. God is your safe place, people, and you need to get a hold of that. You need to find it. You need to get it. He provides for us. He's my protection. He is the warmth that I need. He's the understanding that I need. He's my shelter in the time of storm. That's who he is. But I got to cling to him. I can't make a casual past him. You know, like, whoo-hoo, take it off. No, I've got to lock in on him. When you're sick physically, when you're blown out emotionally or spiritually, it's not my ability to hang on to him as much as he's hanging on to me. Do you feel that? It's God's ability, and he has a great ability to get a grip on us, and he doesn't let go. You say, I'm trying to hold on. Well, don't worry, he's got a hold of you, but you need to recognize it. He's the one that walks through the storms with you. Now, here's the reason you need to praise him. Lots of reasons, but there's a couple of them that I put down here. I need to praise him. I need to tell him. How do I need to do that? Singing. Well, I can't sing. Yeah, you can. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How about shouting? Don't tell me you don't yell at the TV. Don't tell me you don't yell at that idiot that just went by you. It was not a red truck and I was not driving. It was a yellow smart car, Walter, and passed an old man like you on the road. Tell him of his goodness. Find a way to make appropriate response to God. Because you know what he's doing? He's trying to get a hold of you. That's how you praise him. And that will be his response to us. I'm listening. God loves to hear our praise. He always wants to hear us praise. What is the final part about that? Look at verse number 4. Thus I will bless thee while I live. What does that mean? Oh, all the days of my life. I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're always going to be there. You're going to provide for me. You're going to set me up. You're going to do all of these things. In your name, I will lift up my hands. You know what that is? You know what this is during the day? That's what's going on in here. Your soul is lifted up and your hands are just an outward expression of that soul. If your heart is lifted up, let God know that. Let him know your spiritual feelings. Let him know the things that you need to make a difference in your life. Paul called for it in 1 Timothy, that we'd raise holy hands before him. That's what he calls for, 1 Timothy 2:8. We got every reason in the world to begin 2024 rejoicing. Every reason. We're alive. We live in the greatest state in America. And if you don't, then, hey, pack your bags. That's all I can say. Take a hike. Okay. We desire to bless God. You bless him every day with your lives by seeking him, searching for him. When God is all that you have, I hope and pray that's your obsession. I hope that becomes your number one obsession, that we seek after God, because if you seek me, you shall surely find me, and you'll do it every time. So be obsessed with God, and he will bless your life. Let's pray.